Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the last hour of the Grace Curley Show on this chilly Friday in New England. We have a lot to talk about. And I actually have a few stories here that I want to get in before I hand it over for Jared's producer's picks. And I would like to start with a story about the Black Lives Matter co-founder. As you guys have probably heard, the Black Lives Matter co-founder, her name is Patrice Cons Cullors, and she was caught buying a home in Topanga Canyon, California. And it was a very expensive home, which is wonderful. We live in America. We're not communists or socialists yet. And you can buy whatever kind of home you can afford. But some people thought it was a little hypocritical. I mean, and it makes sense why people thought that. This woman has very radical left-wing politics that she claims to stand by. And she bought a home in a community that is majority white, very elite, very expensive. And so people brought this up. She was actually on with Mark Lamont Hill yesterday, and he asked her if there's a contradiction here, if she deserves criticism. And I want to play that for you guys now. This is cut four, Jared.
So a critique, though, from the left that would say, if you are a trained Marxist, if we're talking about a certain kind of radical politic, that extravagant homes of any sort or multiple properties of any sort is itself contradictory to the ideology that you hold. And so it's not about having money per se, but that it's about or about property per se, but it's about there being a potential contradiction between your expressed politics and your lived practice.
Sure. And I think that is a critique that is wanting. And I say that because the way that I live my life is in direct support to Black people, including my Black family members, first and foremost. And for so many Black folks who are able to invest in themselves and their community, they choose to invest in their family. And that's what I've chosen to do. I have a child. I have a brother that has severe mental illness that I take care of. I support my mother, and I support many other family members of mine. And so I see my money as not my own. I see it as my family's money as well.
Now, there's so much wrong with this argument. Let's break it down. One, I love the idea that the money this woman makes, she's using for her family. I think that's a very normal thing to do. But I wonder, when all of these Marxists, trained Marxists, talk about spreading the wealth and, you know, and they really espouse these ideas about equity, not just equality, equity, would they feel comfortable if the person who was investing in their family was white? Or is it only okay because she's a Black woman who has a Black family, so she's investing in Black people? Because in that case, if it's just about investing in your family, then I think this whole billionaires and millionaires conversation, which the left seems to really harp on, is going to be trickier. Because I guarantee you, Jeff Bezos feels like he invests in his family. And Richard Manfred, or is it Robert Manfred, all these millionaire, billionaire, bald white guys, they probably feel the same way. I don't think she would feel that way about other people doing the same thing that she's doing. But she feels like she's investing in her family, so it's okay. So she can buy multiple properties. It's an interesting argument. And well, I'll take calls on whatever you guys want. If you want to talk about that, I do want to talk a little bit here about the border, because Byron York had a great daily memo today in the Washington Examiner, and he talked about the separation policy. All right. And as you guys probably remember, when Trump was separating families, it was a big deal. In fact, I remember hearing over and over again from specifically Elizabeth Warren, because her voice, it never really leaves your mind, that babies were being ripped from their mama's arms at the border. And it's a human rights violation. And Donald Trump really is a horrible, horrible person for this. It was a big deal. It was on the cover of Time magazine. Remember the little girl on the cover of Time who was crying for her mom? That was also fake news, but I'm not going to get into that. That's water under the bridge at this point. There's been so much fake news, you know. You got to let some of these go. But the separation policy was the main criticism of Donald Trump. Families were being separated. In fact, I believe it was Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She not only compared the kids in cages to concentration camps, she also recently said that the families that had been separated under Trump, and Jared, please correct me if I'm wrong, you are my Daniel Dale, you are my fact checker. I think she mentioned reparations for those families that had been separated. So separation was a big deal. Fast forward to today, the president eats ice cream, has two wild and crazy dogs, and wears aviators. Separation's less of a big deal. It's amazing what ice cream can cure. And so let's go over this policy, because now what's happening is that rather than separate the families that come in together, families are sending their kids alone. And it's creating a bit of a problem. This is from Byron York's Daily Memo newsletter. White House, we don't intend to separate migrant families, even if that's what we're doing. The surge, he used that word, Jared, surge.
Racist.
AOC's not going to like that. The surge of would-be migrants illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border is growing larger and larger. Many of those illegal crossers are unaccompanied minors, mostly in their early to mid-teens. There's not as many babies. There are babies, and it's awful. But even Joe Biden said it's not as many babies as it is teenagers. The Biden administration has adopted a policy of allowing all of them to stay in the United States. While some adults and families are returned to Mexico, all of the minors stay. That has spurred some families to send children unaccompanied on the hazardous journey to the United States. In other words, for those families to separate themselves. You know, why wait for us to separate the families? They can separate themselves and get their kids here, and their kids will stay here. On March 21st, I wrote that the Biden policy was creating a powerful incentive for would-be migrant families to self-separate. On March 31st, I wrote that Biden's policy has given those families a clear incentive to self-separate in the interest of at least getting their children inside the United States. U.S. officials have acknowledged that this is what is happening. What we are seeing more and more is the families are self-separating in Mexico, said one of the top Border Patrol officials in Texas. The result of Biden's policy is separated families. And this is from a president and administration officials who bitterly protested President Donald Trump's brief policy of separating families. For a short period, Trump separated migrant families before, in response to protest, reuniting most of them. Biden is encouraging families to separate themselves. In fact, it was Biden's DHS Secretary Mayorkas who clarified that the parents sending their sometimes 9-year-old kids on these treacherous journeys, they're not just parents. He used a very specific adjective, loving parents. And I thought that the separation of these families was a big problem. But like I said, normalcy, PDA, it's all back in the White House. And that means that none of this matters anymore. You know, Idina Menzel is not telling her child, don't worry, honey. the mamas and the babies aren't going to be separated anymore. I mean, she might be saying that. Who knows? But at one point, this was their biggest issue. And now it's, like I said, it's all water under the bridge. You can't. It's a lot harder for them to pretend to care about this stuff now. When we get back on the other side, I want to talk about a little bit here about Hunter Biden's book. The sales of this book are similar to Andrew Cuomo's. It had a brief moment where people thought, you know what? This is going to look spectacular on my coffee table. Nothing says I voted for Joe Biden like buying Hunter Biden's book. But I don't know if it was the Jimmy Kimmel hit. I don't know if it was my review in the Boston Herald, some might say. But the book sales, they're not great. They've kind of dropped off a bit. So we'll get to that on the other side. Now, I do have to tell you guys about a great product I have. This is the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. And I love to use this. What you do is you plug it into the wall. It's very easy to use. Here's how I use it. I cook a lot of steak, a lot of chicken, and I love the smell of that in the house for about 5 minutes. And then after, it grosses me out. I do not like lingering smells, whether it's musty basement, whether it's cooking, whether it's pets, whether it's tobacco. Smells are meant to be cleared out in a very timely manner. And that is why this product is so great. Plug it into the wall. No air filters are needed. I just turn it on. It's got a little knob on the side here. And I run it for a few minutes. And just like that, everything smells as clean as after it rains outside. You know when rain falls on the pavement and it kind of just clears out all the gross smells and you feel fresh and renewed? That is what happens with this product. But it also does great things for people who suffer from allergies. Jared Diglio, my producer, is one of those people.
Yes, I have had seasonal allergies all my life. And I took the medication, which is okay, but it doesn't always get all the symptoms. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm actually ionizes and cleans the air in the room that you're in. And actually, it goes across, I shouldn't say the room, it goes across an entire floor. We can smell it outside the suite here, actually, when we're coming in. It's great because it actually cleans air with the ionization process. It gets rid of the allergens. It gets rid of any pollutants. It can get rid of some viruses. And when you're breathing clean air, it's a huge deal for somebody who is used to wheezing, the scratchy throat, breathing through only one nostril, all those symptoms that go with it. I have never been able to breathe more clearly than I do with the Pure Thunderstorm.
And the other part of this that I just want to mention is it's great for an office because a lot of these offices, especially if you're high up, you don't have windows that open. We don't have any windows here that open up. And so to get some fresh air and to get the air circulating is so nice. Right now, just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. You can also plug this into your car if you have a USB. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. Very simple. Get yourself the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today. We'll be back on the other side with a little bit of Hunter Biden news. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
If the vice president herself would go to the border, talk to the border patrol officers, even talk to some of the migrants and ask them, what's the surge from? And she would learn right away, it's about the policy. It's about the moment that she and the president were sworn in, a policy of an open invitation, open borders, and mass amnesty. That's why people are coming across here.
That was Senator Roger Marshall talking about what would happen if Vice President Kamala Harris, the border czar, actually went to the border. And I just want to say, I think we can take baby steps here, okay? I don't think our first push needs to be Kamala Harris needs to go to the border. She's still acclimating to the new job. She's got a lot of yarn stores to get to. God knows how much crocheting she needs to get done. And there's a lot of bakeries to be visited, a lot of snacks to be had. With that being said, I don't think it is out of this world to ask for a press conference of sorts. I mean, it's been 23 days since she's been tapped for the border crisis role, and she has yet to hold a news conference. Now, when Joe Biden didn't hold a press conference for, I think it was like 60 days, we all kind of understood why. Actually, I can explain why. Cut one, please.
Also, here to President Putin, that the United States is unwavering in our support of our allies and partners in Europe.
Let's play one more time.
I also made clear to President Putin that the United States is unwavering in our support of our allies and partners in Europe.
President Putin is why President Biden has not had a press conference, because it's a scary thing for other countries, especially adversarial ones, to look at the world leader and go, okay, can't get our name right, but besides that, he's sharp as a tack. Now, for Harris, I don't really know what her excuse is. She's fairly young. She does manage to bungle a lot of questions. Maybe they're nervous about the laugh. Maybe they're nervous that she'll get asked a question in a press conference about, you know, separating the families or the kids being in plastic pods or any of those really serious issues, and she will let out one of her famous cackles, as she is wont to do. Yeah, that can kind of rub people the wrong way. So there's a lot of reasons why she might be avoiding this. Now, moving on here a little bit, I do want to talk about, oh, I have to do the poll question. I almost forgot. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com or call them today at 800-521-0111. I'll read that one more time. 800-521-0111. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which New England state will be the last to drop the mask mandate? Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or Vermont?
I'm going to say Massachusetts. We are Karenville.
Massachusetts polling at 78% to be the last state. Rhode Island second at 7%. Maine and Vermont had at 6%. Connecticut is at 4%.
We run number one in a lot of things. At one point, we were number one in people who had lost their jobs due to the pandemic. I think I'm sure we're number one on some of the worst places to live lists. And now we're one on the poll question for today. So that's nice. I want to read you two different stories here because I read one and I immediately thought of the other. Hollywood left-wing activist Alyssa Milano is attacking U.S. law enforcement, claiming that police exist to uphold white supremacy, despite the fact that white people account for more fatal police shootings than any other race. Now, I'm not going to get into the statistics here, the numbers. I saw this tweet about police existing to uphold white supremacy, and I immediately had something stuck in the back of my head. I was like, I swear there was a story a few months ago about this Alyssa Milano woman. Most people know her. She sat behind Brett Kavanaugh during the confirmation hearings. Or you might know her from Charmed, if you're one of the people that watches that show or watched it. It was on like 20 years ago. And then I found the story from Page Six. Cops called to Alyssa Milano's home over squirrel shooter. So there was a helicopter circling overhead, and people started to figure out that the cops had been called to her fancy schmancy house. And this is what she said in a statement. The responding officers were amazing and made my family and I feel safe and secure as we sheltered in place until we knew exactly what was happening. These are exactly the type of situations that police officers are trained for and should be responding to. But wait, if they exist to uphold white supremacy, then I feel like they still shouldn't even be responding to the squirrel shooter in your neighborhood. If their only reason for existence is to uphold white supremacy, then it's nice that they made your family feel safe while you sheltered in place from the squirrel shooter. But I don't know if this all adds up. The logic here, maybe I'm missing something. We'll be back on the other side with a little bit of producer's picks. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Just a quick update. Hunter Biden's book only sold 11,000 copies, despite him having a nationwide media campaign. Got paid.
I love crack. I'm absolutely cuckoo for crack.
Got paid a lot of money as well. And this is another update. There are a few things. Biden will sign an order today to keep the number of refugee admissions this year at the historically low figure set by... drumroll, please. Donald J. Trump, a.k.a. Orange Man Bad. So he is walking back a campaign promise to raise the cap.
Yamiche called him out for that on Twitter.
Yamiche Alcindor.
Yeah. AOC is already calling him out for that, too.
I wonder, Yamiche, does it make it better? You know, the whole refugee cap situation. Does it make it better that the man who is keeping the refugee cap at a historic low set by Donald Trump is a moral and decent guy? His reputation precedes him, as a matter of fact. Yamiche, we're just going off of your information. And in a really weird move, Jared, did you see this with Kamala Harris? I'm trying to find it here. There's a situation, I think it's the Japanese...
Yes.
Tell me, because I don't have it pulled up here. I don't want to say any fake news.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga came to the White House today.
And he was greeted by Kamala, not
Joe. And was greeted and welcomed by Vice President Kamala Harris and not President Joe Biden.
Weird.
Yes. I don't know what the tapioca schedule was at the White House cafeteria today.
But it also should be noted, the press asked Jen Psaki a question today at 11:28 a.m. and she said she hadn't spoken to the president yet that today.
He probably wasn't up yet.
He's probably, he's got a busy schedule.
Those lids are tough, you know?
I'm just thinking, he's got a lot of tails to pull in that White House. Champ, Major, they're running around.
That's true. Mr. President, if Champ is holding you hostage, blink twice.
Exactly. And now it's time, without further ado, for Producers Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producers Picks.
This is the time in the show where Jared Diglio goes over all of his favorite stories of the week. Jared, take it away.
All right. So, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. We don't necessarily talk about her a lot, but... she's the, quote, QAnon congressperson.
Yes, she's a little out there.
Yes, from Georgia.
She's almost like AOC. She gets a lot of media publicity.
Yes.
I don't know how effective it is for her, but a lot of people know her name.
Yes, well, she has challenged AOC, in fact, to a debate on the economics of the Green New Deal. At AOC, I'd like to challenge you to a debate on the Green New Deal economic policy. Since you sponsored the Green New Deal and have a degree in economics, I'm sure you'd agree you are more than qualified. I just have a degree in business admin and I've owned a construction company for 20 years. The debate between AOC and I on the Green New Deal economic policy would be informative for the American people. They deserve to hear two sides with the pros and cons.
Maybe unpopular opinion here, but and I'm not the person who thought of this. I saw somebody else say this a while back, but I don't think that constantly giving so much attention to AOC helps anyone. I think it's a quick way for Republicans to grandstand and get likes on Twitter and talk a big game, but I really don't care. AOC is not our biggest issue right now. I like what Jim Jordan did yesterday, because Dr. Fauci is damaging the country right now, whether you like him or not, more than AOC. His words, his psychosis, his pandemic porn is really, really hurting the vaccination movement and the reopenings. So I don't mind Jim Jordan going back and forth with Dr. Fauci. I enjoyed that. I think that actually serves a purpose. I think getting that video out there really shows Americans what this guy is about. But as far as Marjorie Taylor Greene and AOC having a debate, I'll skip that.
Well, AOC has yet to respond. I'm sure her schedule is busy calling out President Joe Biden and not talking about concentration camps on the border. But that tweet bore unexpected fruit from Representative President Eric Swalwell.
Oh, President Swalwell.
President Swalwell tweeted at Marjorie Taylor Greene, when you aren't on any committees, you can propose stunts like this. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene had a response. Well, we all know how you serve on the Intel Judiciary and Homeland Security committees with your pants around your ankles, giving it to China. I serve on the Committee of the Whole and hold all of the Congress accountable by demanding recorded votes so the people know our record.
You know what? I'm such a phony. I am such a fraud because there I go saying, you know, it's just this back and forth. I don't really go for it. And then she does something like that and it suits my fancy. And I'm like, go, girl. Yikes. Speaking of Swalwell, I want to read you these really quick, Jared. We're talking a lot about the fake story about the Russian bounties on American troops. The media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, they really harped on this, that Trump wasn't bringing this up to Putin or Clinton or whatever you want to call him, and that he was letting it slide because, of course, you connect the dots, all roads lead to Russia. And Representative Eric Swalwell said this in September. Now I get why at real Donald Trump won't stand up to Putin for bounties on our troops. I just want to interject here. It's because it's not true. It's because it's fake news. But this is Representative Eric Swalwell. He's not just president. He's also a detective and he figures things out. Couldn't figure out the case. Could not figure out the case of the Chinese spy who was getting very cozy with him. But he figures out other things, Jared. Now I get why Donald Trump won't stand up to Putin for bounties on our troops. Does Trump act as a Russian agent? Yes. But also, Trump thinks any U.S. troops killed by Russia bounties are suckers or losers. He hasn't defended them. He never will. He just incorporated, he just seamed together two fake news stories, okay? Do not underestimate the sheer dopiness of Eric Swalwell. He is a dope among dopes, my friends.
All right. Communism in the news. Raul Castro, who succeeded his brother Fidel as the Communist Party of Cuba's first secretary in 2011, is expected to step down from his post as the country begins its 8th Communist Party Congress today. So for the first time in more than 60 years, Cuba will have a government without a Castro.
Wow.
I don't know if it's going to be better or worse, because who knows, but historically. So good news is this year, no more Kennedys, no more Castros.
Yeah,
so
that is
the old
good
lines
news.
Are, you know, that old blood feud is gone now.
That is good news. That's, you know what, Jaron, and on a Friday nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Feeling good.
CCP Friday, baby, let's go. The Alexei Navalny stuff, he was the Russian that was supposedly poisoned by Putin because he was the opposition leader and he did a video at Putin's supposed palace and things like that. Well, anyway, he's been arrested and he's gone on a hunger strike, but he actually is now detailing that when he's in prison, they are force feeding him in a straitjacket so he cannot go on a hunger strike.
Ooh,
it's so bizarre. I don't know why they want to keep him alive. I don't know what, but it seems like he said, you know, obviously there are prison laws, they can't do this, but it's Russia. Come on.
Yeah, there's a lot of news today about Russia and Putin and, you know, all of this stuff. It's pretty wacky. Just add that to the list.
So this is an interesting story. This is from the New York Post. A man accidentally gets one dose of Moderna and one Pfizer COVID vaccine. So he went in for his first shot and he got the Moderna and then he came back and he got the Pfizer.
What happens with that?
We really don't know. He may be patient zero of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He may become a superhero, may become a super villain. We honestly don't. He may spontaneously combust. I mean, anything is possible, but it is interesting. He seems to be okay now. So he's a New Hampshire man, so let's just monitor that closely, you know. But
how did that happen?
I don't know, but this could be a breakthrough. Maybe he'll be super immune. We'll have super immunity.
Yeah, maybe it will work better. Maybe the mix and match.
Yeah.
Scary, though. I hope he's okay on a serious note.
Yeah, everything seems fine right now. There haven't been any side effects that that we know of.
Imagine being the person who put that, who injected him and then realized it was the wrong one. You're like, all right, so you're all right, this is awkward.
Maybe we shouldn't have had the launch button next to the cancel button. On this day, of course it happens every year, but April 16th, 2000, Tom Brady is selected in the sixth round, 199th pick by the New England Patriots.
Wow.
Tom tweeted today, big day, my NFL career can legally buy a beer.
Aw.
Tom Brady, 10-time Super Bowl, 10 Super Bowl appearances, 7-time Super Bowl champion.
The greatest of all time.
The GOAT. And from one GOAT to another, it's ironic, the same day Tom Brady is drafted, the birthday of Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Coach Belichick turned 69 years old today.
Nice.
Rob Gronkowski could not yet be reached for comment, but I'm pretty sure it'll be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a good Friday for all of them. Happy birthday, Bill. Hope it's a good one. Jared, I'm surprised you didn't put in the story about the dad with the bobcat.
The dad with the bobcat, that's more a visual story because the video is good. So,
Jared, no one can set a scene like you, though. There's this crazy video of a dad and our husband and wife, and they're outside in the driveway, and a bobcat attacks the mom. This is confusing. I'm using all different words, mom, wife, whatever, but it attacks the lady. And the guy, I think he pulls out his equalizer.
He did pull out the heater, yeah.
But I have to say, I know people love cats, okay? I hosted with Dr. Matt the other day. And I know it's a bobcat. I know it's not like a house cat. But oh my God, scary. When they cling on like that, it is, the woman started to scream and she would she screamed like I would scream. She was so freaked out. And the dad took the cat and just chucked it onto the yard. Really crazy video. You guys should check it out. When we get back on the other side, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. Do not go anywhere on this beautiful Friday. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show and happy Friday to everyone. It's been a great week here at the Grace Curley Show, and we're so happy to bring on one of our favorite guests, Howard Lawrence Carr. Thank you for joining the show, Howie.
My pleasure, Grace. Thanks for having me.
So, Howie, the mask mandate has officially been lifted in New Hampshire, and my question for you is this, because I had a lot of people weighing in today, some from New Hampshire, some not, but people were saying even if it's lifted in the state, a lot of these private companies are
right.
going to keep doing it for
right.
virtue signaling. But don't you think that some other places are going to take advantage of, you know, the customer that wants to come in without their mask on and support a business that allows that? And maybe they'll decide not to make people wear them?
I'd rather have no statewide mask mandate than a statewide mask mandate. As soon as it was announced yesterday afternoon, the same thing happened. You know, people started having this reaction. Well, why did we have one in the first place in New Hampshire? Well, why did it take this long to get rid of it? You know, politics is dealing with the art of the possible, you know? And I mean, I'm very happy that he did it. I mean, he did it first. And, you know, I looked at that poll question of yours. I'd probably vote Massachusetts just like everybody else. But I mean, none of these states are going to lift it anytime soon. And I think it's going to be a real boon to New Hampshire's economy to have the state even, officially on the, in the Texas, Florida category of open states.
Well, Howie, I was just thinking because, and you know this, usually 1 week in the summer, my parents will get a lake house or something in New Hampshire. And I could see myself kind of calling around to certain restaurants and figuring out who actually doesn't make you wear one and then supporting those restaurants over the ones that are still trying to keep up with the Karens.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, I just want things to go back to normal. There was a column today in the New York Post, and it was talking about now that they're going to legalize weed. And the guy was saying, well, it's going to be really bad, you know, because everybody's going to be lighting up weed on the sidewalks and in the parks and all that stuff. And I kept thinking, yeah, that's probably going to happen. But you know what? I'd rather have people moving around out on the street without masks smoking weed than just with their heads down and their hands in their pockets moving furtively, you know, worried about, being assailed by a Karen. I mean, I'll take people smoking pot openly any day as opposed to the reality we've got now.
I have to say this pandemic has brought on a lot of changes, and I'm going to go through some of them. Howie Carr does not like to throw parties. And when they came out and said, listen, you can't have any Patriots parties, those are two things Howie doesn't like to do. He doesn't really like to watch sports. I know you watch basketball, Howie, sometimes in the NFL and stuff. But you were thinking about having a Patriots party just because they were telling you not to. Now you're saying that you're supportive of the potheads just because you'd rather that than the masks.
As potheads, as long as you're not wearing a damn mask while you're smoking weed,
you
know, on the Wellesley bike path or the Boston Common or wherever, I don't care. Just don't put the mask on, and we're on the same team.
Yeah, if I don't have my mask on and I take a deep breath of air and yeah, I smell that smell of pot, I won't even mind it because at least something's going through my nostrils besides my own breath.
That's right. You know, they used to say in the 60s, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. In this era, if you're wearing a mask, you're part of the problem.
Yes, I would agree. Howie, something else I wanted to talk about, I don't know if you're aware, but here in beautiful Massachusetts, there's snow on the ground today. And
yes,
I was reading some of the headlines, and the timing is just perfect with these things because they realize COVID is kind of declining, so now they're back on the global warming train.
It's what CNN, that they have the Project Veritas has the actual confirmation that CNN is going to revert to climate change.
And they have, ready? This is a headline from CNN. The pandemic has given us a trial run. Experts say the COVID-19 pandemic has taught hard lessons that countries can use to tackle another major global crisis, climate change.
Well, you know, if this is how we fight climate change, I'm going to say let's go back to letting the global warming continue apace. I'd rather have the None of this makes any sense. And climate change is just not going to work as a religion because all the doomsday predictions, are in the future after everybody's dead. You can't scare someone with something that's going to happen after they're dead.
Yeah, the impending doom tends to lose its potency after you keep saying it. All right, guys, Howie Carr is coming up next. I will be there for Grace's News, and we'll also be doing Police Blotter Facts Friday with Joe Piantedosi later on. Do not go anywhere. He has an incredible show planned. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Monday. This is The Grace Curley Show.